you should know. I made dinner, nothing fancy, just some chili on the stove. And I've been working in the garden, but I got a ways to go. Oh. Truck lights off the chrome, but you love the calm of the day that's gone and the late night radio. Oh, oh, there's a quiet here I used to crave. I might deny it, but I'm counting the days. You are the anchor, I am the chain. Just hang it on till you're home again. Darling, you won't answer. I'm sorry it's so late. It's getting harder not to miss you at this rate. Now there are two of us here waiting, impatient for her sake. Hey, hey, hey. Darling, you won't answer, maybe when you wake. We've both been sick since Wednesday, and the baby's got an earache. Tried to sing your lullaby, but the words just wouldn't take. Hey, hey, hey. There's a quiet here I used to crave. I might deny it, but I'm counting the days. You are the anchor, I am the chain. Just hang it on till you're home again.
Was Shauna Caspi with a song entitled Anchor from her latest release. It is a third album. It is entitled Apartments for Lovers. A very beautiful album, and there's so much to talk about here, which is why I'm very excited, because Shauna Caspi is on the phone from Toronto. It's great to talk to you today, Shauna.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I love the new album. I love the style. I love the lyrics. I love the fact that it has your art on the cover, and it seems that you have covered all the bases here. But before we get into the interview and talk about the music that's on the album, I'd like to talk a little bit about you and how you got into music in the first place. You describe yourself as a classically trained folky, and yep. I always thought that's a good way to start. So tell us how you got into music and why you decided to make it your career.
Well, I've been doing music for a long time, and it started when I was a kid and I was singing in choirs. And from that, I ended up going to an arts high school in Ottawa. And so at that high school, I was focusing on vocal music, which was all classical. And by the time I graduated from high school, I was interested in sticking with music and pursuing it in university. So I ended up going to York University and got a music degree there, where I did a lot of studying in classical music, but also broadening into other styles of music like folk music and world music.
So when you talk about being classically trained, what instruments were you working with at that time? I mean, was it classically trained guitar, or were you looking at other instruments?
Yes. When I was in high school, I was studying as a classical singer, but I was also studying classical guitar. So when I first started playing guitar, I took classical guitar lessons for about 5 or 6 years.
One of the things that fascinates me about the way you play is that you play in a... To me, it seems an unusual style because you almost hold the guitar upright. Is that the classical training coming through then?
Yeah, the guitar position does come from my classical training, because usually when you play a classical guitar, you're sitting down with your left foot propped up, and then the guitar is kind of on an angle. And so I got used to that form, and I just really like the way that it positions my hand into the right place. So when I play the way I do now, and I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm standing up in front of the microphone, I still play with the guitar in that position.
For people listening at home, you almost hold the guitar like it's a cello, other than obviously you don't rest it on the floor. But when you're standing, and we had a great opportunity to see and hear you play at the Folk Music Ontario conference, but you're standing with this guitar, and it's, to me, it's almost like it's at an angle of about sort of 15-20 degrees off the vertical there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just find it puts my hand in the right position, makes it easy to play.
It's interesting, because on the new album you have a couple of instrumentals on there. Again, is that because that you had this classical training, that you're really very in tune with, you know, working on musical arrangements that don't necessarily need to be attached to some lyrics?
Yeah, that was a brand new thing for me. I've been writing songs for so long, and I've been always writing accompaniment for those songs that have been very complicated and intricate. And I thought, in making this new album, because it was going to be a solo guitar voice album and every track would be just me singing and playing the guitar, I thought it would be interesting to have something to switch it up a little bit throughout the course of the album and put these guitar instrumentals in. But I kind of went in there just blindly, having never written guitar instrumentals before, and took a stab at it for this album, and I ended up with two instrumentals.
Now, I would describe this album as coffee house style folk. I mean, a strong focus on the lyrics. We'll certainly talk about those in a few seconds. But also a very intimate feel. You mentioned that it's a solo album. It's just you and a guitar. It is your third album. On the other albums, were you in more of a band situation?
Yeah, I was. Both of my previous albums have lots of other instruments on them, but they were always arranged in that I was a solo performer when I played live. You know, when it came time to make those albums, we were rearranging all the songs to put other instruments in them, which was awesome, but it wasn't what I was doing live. And I thought that if I was going to make a third album, I wanted to make it a little bit different, and I wanted to make it something that sounded like what I sounded like live. I'm not sure if I'd make my next album in the same way, but I'm really glad that I did this one in this way. And it is my fundamental belief, kind of at the core of everything that I do, I believe in the power of one person and one instrument. And as much as I love hearing really great arrangements and seeing bands play and that kind of thing, what I do is a solo performance. And when I go on tour, that's what I do. And I'm always trying to have a show and have a performance that can stand alone. So to finally actually put that on a record as well was just to solidify that philosophy.
So let's talk a little bit about this album. The album is entitled Apartments for Lovers. The thing that strikes me right from the off, and I think when we listen to the first song we play today, which is Anchor, which is the first track on the album, this is an album where the lyrics are really important. I mean, they deserve to be listened to because they're incredibly well-crafted, they're thoughtful, and they're poetic. And when I was preparing for this interview today, and I'm actually reading the lyrics from the beautiful lyric booklet that you have with the album, you know, what strikes me is like, oh my God, I could just sit and read these without necessarily needing to listen to the music at the same time. And I always like to ask the question when I do an interview like this, well, what comes first? Is it the lyrics? Is it the music? My sense is that the lyrics are really, really important to you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's definitely true. They are very important to me. And I've always been somebody who loves words and loves playing with words. What I think is hopefully different about this album compared to my first two is I had a grant, actually, to do some songwriting, which led to a lot of the songs in this album. And in that process, I was trying out something new in the writing process where I was doing dedicated writing practice every day. And I was doing all kinds of writing exercises. And I had taken this online course with Pat Pattison, who's a really great songwriter and teacher, that was teaching me a lot more about structure in songwriting than I had ever known before. And I think it really helped in my ability to tell a story in a clear way from start to finish. So I was able to still use the poetic stuff that I really enjoyed playing with in songwriting, but it still kept the story really clear.
So when you're writing these songs, are you working from the idea that you have for the lyrical content? I mean, this album has songs that, you know, cover different aspects of personal relationships. There are songs that certainly hint to abuse. We're going to play a song very shortly that actually focuses on the full cost of military service on behalf of your country and the psychological impacts of what happens to people under those circumstances. And then later, and this is a teaser for people to definitely stay to the end of this interview, we're going to play your song about Canada's missing and murdered Aboriginal women. But it strikes me that these are, you know, very focused subjects. So do you tend to write the ideas down and start to craft the lyrics and then think about the music that fits with that? Or how do you do things?
Yeah, in those cases, especially the songs that you mentioned, those did come with lyrics first, and then the music came later. But it goes both ways sometimes, especially with the guitar parts that I'm composing. And something that I like doing is I love playing with different tunings on the guitar. And especially because I have this classical background, sometimes I want to get out of that classical background. And I find by playing with different tunings, it kind of throws me into another world that I don't really know what's going on. And that's kind of exciting because then I get to experiment with the guitar and see what I can get out of it without, you know, having to worry about what key I'm in or what things are related in that key. So sometimes the lyrics come first, but sometimes the music comes first. There's a track on the album called Here and There, and it's got a really cool guitar tuning, and that's an example of a song where I just loved playing in that tuning, and I was just experimenting with different musical bits on the guitar, and then the song came here.
So let's talk about some of the songs themselves. We started with Anchor, which, you know, if you listen to the lyrics of this song, you clearly have that idea that this is a relationship that is really struggling. And was that what you were intending with a song like this?
That song actually began as a conversation that I had with another singer-songwriter, a guy named Jonathan Burr. I ran into him at a conference, and he's a guy who's on tour a lot. And we were just chatting, and he was telling me about his family back home, and I could just hear how much he missed them. He'd just been away from them for so long. And so I was thinking of that idea of these jobs that people have where, in order to support their families, they have to be away from them for a long time. And that extends to all kinds of jobs, truck drivers and lobster fishermen and anyone who has to spend time away from their family. So that song came out of that story.
What about the next song? We're not going to be able to play it today, but I do want to let people know about this. The Devil's Rolling Pin is a very interesting song. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Sure. That song is a true story from start to finish. of the first time that I went to the bluegrass jam at the Transat Club in Toronto. It was just one of those really cold, gloomy days where I didn't really want to leave. I just wanted to curl up on the couch and stay home. But I got up and I went down the street and I went to this place and I walked in not knowing anybody, and just the way that the room was set up and the music that was happening and just the feeling of being in that room, and because it was bluegrass music, it just had that uplifting kind of religious almost feeling. And so I kind of wrote this cheeky, fun little song about that night.
Well, that's one of the things that really fits on this album. And it's interesting that when we're talking about an album that's, you know, that is, you know, basically solo guitar and song, very clearly a coffee house style feel to it. It's going to be very interesting to see where you go next, because there's a real intimacy to these songs. And I imagine that must come through in live performance, does it?
I think so. And I think what's really interesting about being a singer-songwriter and something that I'm always working towards is being the most honest that I can be. And sometimes that's really hard to be. And I think every day and every show, I'm just in the process of trying to open myself up more and more and be as raw and authentic and truthful as I can possibly be.
We should take a break in a couple of seconds because I do want to play another song from the album. Now, the one that I would love to play is I'm Trying to Leave, which seems to be written from the point of view of a soldier serving in Afghanistan and the impact of something that happens there. Can you talk a little bit about that song and why you chose to write it in the way you did?
Sure. That song was inspired by an interview that I heard on CBC Radio one morning. There was a guy named Jonathan Wolvick, who was a Canadian soldier in Afghanistan, and they were interviewing him and his dad, and the story was that he had come back from Afghanistan with PTSD, and when he tried to get help from the army, they just told him to suck it up. So what happened in the end was his dad kidnapped him from the army base and put him into a civilian treatment center because that was the only way that they could get help. And so that story came from his truthful account.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall. My guest today is Shauna Caspi. We're going to take a break with a song entitled I'm Trying to Leave from her great new album, Apartments for Lovers.
Johnny, don't go near that black hockey puck. but the blast cut him off. There was nothing but smoke, and all I could hear were those last words he spoke. I carried their bodies, I called out their names. They were holes in the ground, they were ashes and flames. So take me, I'm trying to leave. I'll trade these medals, these stripes on my sleeve. Anything just to have nothing to grieve. Take me, I'm trying to leave. Kick the habit of running for my life. My heart's like an engine, I can't turn it over, and I still have the dead weight of those men on my shoulders. Pills made my skin crawl, and the therapy stung. That 40 was lighter than the air. Take me, I'm trying to leave. I'll trade these medals, these stripes on my sleeve. Anything just to have nothing to grieve. Oh, take me, I'm trying to leave.
That was Shauna Caspi with I'm Trying to Leave, a song from her great new album, Apartments for Lovers, and she is our guest on Folk Roots Radio today. It's great to have you with us, Shauna. I'd like to talk a little bit about the other side of, I would say, your art. You're obviously a singer-songwriter. You've released 3 albums. I gather you're working on a fourth. We'll talk about that in a few seconds. But you're also a visual artist, and one of the things I love, and I was checking out your website at shaunacaspi.com today, is the way that you weave your visual art into that as well, because you're an artist in the visual arts as much as an artist in the performing arts. Can you talk about how these two aspects of your creative output to the world fit together?
It's just so strange to hear someone tell me that I'm a visual artist. I have been doing some painting over the past year or so. I learned paint actually in my last year of university. I took a studio class as part of my degree, and then I stopped painting for about 7 or 8 years, and then one day I just thought, oh, I wonder if I can still do this, and I pulled out the paint, and I found that I really loved painting landscapes, and I really loved painting small canvases, which is something they never let us do in university. So I started going through photos that I had taken on tours. And that's something I love to do. I get to see some really incredible landscapes, especially when I'm here in Canada. And so I had all these albums of photos, and I just started painting from those photos. And that led to suddenly having this collection of landscape paintings that I had done over my time touring around Canada. And I now sell those paintings as part of my merchandise at my shows.
It's funny because, you know, when you say to me that you think it's funny that people would call you a visual artist, and I look at your website and I follow you on Facebook and think, oh yeah, this is so clearly someone that this is another aspect of, as I mentioned before, your creative output for the world. I think it's wonderful. I imagine the way that you tour, and you like to get into smaller places. I know that you've done the Via Rail onboard entertainment program at least once or twice, haven't you?
Yeah, several times now.
So it must be a great opportunity to visit all these wonderful parts of the country, and then capture it. And I actually think it's awesome that you're actually creating through the visual arts at the same time as musically.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the great advantages and an honor of doing this kind of work, where I get to see little parts of this country that I don't think I would have seen otherwise, and maybe people don't know exist. And it's a great way to learn about the country and learn about all these different communities. And before, I was a touring singer-songwriter, I never had done much traveling, so I'm kind of getting it all happening all at once. And I'm seeing so many places that, maybe they're not the most famous place to go see, but they each place I see has its charm, and I love seeing them and I love capturing them.
Yeah, and I can see how, we talked about some of the experiences you've had, things you've heard about that actually end up creating great lyrics for you. But I can also see these experiences when you're traveling around the country also providing great opportunities for your art as well. I think it's wonderful, and I certainly hope that this is something that you'll continue with.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to talk about the live experience. Obviously, this album, because it's solo guitar and voice, is very much as I mentioned before, a coffee house style album. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come to one of your shows.
I try to make it a really inviting, intimate experience. I like to be as close to the audience as I can, and I love house concerts because they're so relaxed and intimate, and everyone gets to sit in a comfortable seat. There are often snacks. And there's no, stage and lights and all these things getting in the way of the show. It's just you and the performer. And that's my favorite way to do a show. I love doing all kinds of shows. And my goal is to recreate that kind of atmosphere no matter where the show is. So whether it's a house concert or whether it's a big festival stage or a theater or wherever it may be, I always want to have that feeling.
Remember, if you want to check out the shows that Shauna will be playing in the coming months, do go to shaunacaspi.com. What does the future hold? You mentioned that you are very comfortable with the idea of creating this solo guitar voice album this time around. Are you thinking more of a band project for the next album?
For a recording, I think so. I'm not entirely sure yet because I haven't written any of the songs yet. So that's the next step. I just got another grant from the Toronto Arts Council, thank you so much to them, to do some writing. So I'm planning to take a little more time to myself in the next few months rather than being on tour so much, which has been the fall for me. I'm planning to focus on writing for the next little while and hopefully get some of those songs written for a future project.
Can we talk briefly about the sustainability of life as a singer-songwriter? Obviously, you've discovered other aspects of what you do, like the visual art, that may help pay the bills for you. It always strikes me as a challenging career because, unless you can make that breakthrough with a really strong song that either gets recorded by other people or you have that album that becomes really, really big, it's constantly trying to make sure that you can bring in enough money to make your music, you can tour and everything else. Talk a little bit about what that means to you.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. I've been doing it full time now for about a year and a half. And before that, I was making music in a variety of part-time kind of ways. And now that I'm completely reliant on it, it's a matter of being really flexible and trying to make myself available in all kinds of different ways. And sometimes that means thinking up creative ways of being a musician, but making it viable. So sometimes that's doing workshops or taking on corporate gigs or whatever needs to be done. And it's kind of exhilarating because I'm my own boss and I can do anything I want to do. I don't have to report to anyone. But it also means, on the other side of it, that I'm completely liable for everything that I do. So that can be a lot of stress sometimes. But I absolutely do not regret it. I love it. And I'm really, really grateful that I get to do this.
Well, I think personally, having had a chance to get to know you through your music and learn about you through your website, it strikes me as that you really have the balance there. And certainly for other musicians that are listening to the show today, I'd certainly encourage people to check out what you're doing, because it seems to me that you have found something that clearly works for you, and hopefully it may help other people.
Yeah, and I'm always trying to work on that too. I think what can be dangerous, and it's something that I'm working on right now, is the work-life balance. Sometimes I'm a little bit of a workaholic, and I have to remember that there's a real life outside of that as well that I have to pay attention to.
Well, look, I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. We only have a few moments left, so I do want to introduce our final song, which I think is a really important issue that you're raising here. The song that we're going to play is the final song on the album. It's entitled Not So Silent. It has somewhat an anthemic aspect to it, because I think it's really, it's a call to people. The issue is Canada's missing and murdered Aboriginal women, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about why you decided you needed to write a song about this.
Mm-hmm. It's such a hard song to introduce these days because it takes on more and more weight all the time. The issue of missing and murdered Aboriginal women is in the song. It's in the first verse. But every verse brings up a new topic about gender equality, about women's safety, and all kinds of other issues. So what I try to focus on the song when I'm explaining it is the bottom line issue of that song is that I think what we need to be doing is speaking up about these issues. Sometimes you can be really complacent, especially in Canada, where we take a lot of things for granted. We need to say when we think something's wrong, and we need to get together as a group and make that voice really loud. And I think that we don't necessarily do enough of that, and that's really the call to action in that song.
With the fact that this song has a very clear chorus, which is, we are louder, we are louder than them, I imagine that this must be one of the last songs you play in a show. Do you hope, because it has that that group interactive aspect to it at the end, is the hope that people will leave one of your shows with the feeling that we should all be trying to do more about these issues?
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that it's an uplifting feeling at the end of it all, that there is hope in there, and that maybe it inspires people to action.
Well, look, I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. If you want to learn more about Shauna Caspi's music, certainly go to shaunacaspi.com. She does have a great website, and I would encourage anybody who's in the music business that wants to create a new online presence, this would definitely be a place I would check out. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you today, Shauna.
Thanks so much, Jen.
This is Shauna Caspi with Not So Silent from her latest album, Apartments for Lovers, and you've been listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
For the sisters who are stolen in the missing person files, the stories unreported that never go to trial, names that are ignored by a country in denial. We are louder, we are louder than them. For the daughters who have disappeared when they stood to disobey, when a life that's lived in freedom is a threat to some old way, the sentence is cut short when there is so much more to say. We are louder, we are louder than them. We will not be silent. reckless, and the consequences due to the men who just can't help themselves and the courts who wave them through. We are louder, we are louder than them. To the officer who looked at her, said she was to blame. The woman charged in self-defense when the judge denied her claim. The history that haunts us and the fear that never goes away. We're louder, we are louder than them. We will not be silent, and we will not be shamed, and we will not sit still and bend our will in honor's name. We don't come for permission, there are no warning shots. We are the forces that call out for those who cannot. There are no isolated incidents. We are not isolated innocents. It's more than just coincidence, and we are louder. And it's urgency that drives us, and mercy that survives us. It's her and him and I and us, and we are louder. Oh, we are louder than them. We are louder. We are louder. So let's choose change to counter danger, love the company we keep, and rise to those who challenge us and dare to call us weak. When equality has fallen from the language that they speak, we are louder, we are louder than them. We are the voices that call out for those who cannot.